Gray Kahan, Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, saints of Yahweh. Beautiful day in the house of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It's really a great joy to be here this morning and a great privilege and opportunity to come to the great house of Yahweh and be able to speak to the great saints of Yahweh in these last days. Have a lot of information to bring forth. Wow, there is a huge crowd out here today. Praise Yahweh for the great Sabbath day. Did anybody notice that this month, it seems to be a very special month. It's June of 2013, which makes it 6/13, right? And I've been really loving those expiration dates on people's tags out there on their car. It says 6/13 everywhere now on all the vehicles. This is really great, a great reminder. You see that 6/13 all the time. A couple days ago, of course, was 6/13 of 2013. And I was noticing that day, it just seemed like every time I looked at my telephone or something, the number 6/13 was popping up. And I thought, you know, there has to be something very special about this day. 6/13 of June, or 6/13. So as the day wore on, you know, well, we just did our normal business and went about business. And toward the end of the day, there was an announcement made. I noticed I pulled up on Drudge Report about Syria. On 6/13, it was announced that the USA was going to arm rebels in Syria, which, as you know, when you say you're going to arm an individual group, you're supporting a war. That's actually a declaration of war against another country when you start supplying arms to rebels. So, of course, Mike, I was thinking and pondering about this, and I was thinking about calling a pastor and talking to him about it, and I looked up at my iPhone, and it said 6/13. And I thought, you know what, I better call him and talk to him. So I called him and told him, we talked a little bit about some things that are going on, some really great things that are going on that I can't tell you about right now, but I'm sure you'll find out very soon. But also I mentioned what I had seen in the news about Syria. And of course, Pastor probably already knew about it. But there was something that we talked about, and that was the fact that, and we're going to go all the way back to the beginning, not Genesis, but actually the beginning of the books of Israel, in the first book of Israel, making the connection with Yahweh on page 9. I want to read you an excerpt from that sermon that Pastor gave, and it was on 4/17/03. Now pay attention. He says, there's no verse number for you. It's only on page 9. They didn't have verses back then. But it says, the war in Iraq is a scary thing. It doesn't mean much right now. It means that Israel's going to be expanded. I'll show you that in prophecy. I brought most of this out in the sermon on the wars in the Middle East. And now, and we'll talk about that in a minute. That was the seventh book of Israel Hawkins, part 2, Teachers of Righteousness, on page 418 that I'm going to quote here in a minute. Back to page 9 in the first book, it says, I'll show you in prophecy. I brought most of this out in the sermons on the wars in the Middle East. You're going to see Israel expanded over the great river Euphrates, over to the great river Euphrates. That's why Syria is going to be next. Syria is going to be next. Now remember, this sermon was given on 4/17/03, and he was talking about the war that had just been launched the month before in March of 2003 against Iraq. Remember, the war on terror began in Afghanistan in, I believe, November of 2001. And then in the 19th month after 9/11, they launched the war in Iraq in March of 2003. The next month, Pastor gave this sermon. And Pastor said, you're going to see Israel expanded. And he knew from prophecy that Syria would be next. And he mentioned the wars in the Middle East, the series of sermons he gave in the seventh book, part two, back in 2000, or let me see. Actually, let me go there so I don't. It's on page 418 in the seventh book, part two, page 418. I'm going to read you an excerpt from there that he talked about Syria here on page 418 in verse 127. He says, now here we have the burden of Damascus, here in Isaiah 17. Still speaking of the same land here, Isaiah 17:1 says, the burden of Damascus, or the pronouncement, the prediction against Damascus, this great city, I believe that's what the name means, great city. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city. And then he had a series of maps that he showed everybody of the Middle East and all these different places in the Middle East that were part of these prophecies of the expansion of the borders of Israel. And of course, if you want to learn more about, there's some other scriptures you can also read. I want you to mark these down so you can read them later. I don't have time to go over all of them, but concerning the borders of Israel being extended, you can go back to Genesis 15:18. Write these down, please, because I want you to read them. Exodus 23:21, Numbers 34:1-12, Yahshua 1:4, and you can read the entire chapter of Yekechka 47 about prophecies of the expansion of the borders of Israel. Now, some of you might be thinking in your mind, some scoffers might be thinking, well, that back in 2003, there was a war launched against Iraq, but Syria didn't come next. Didn't we go into Libya? Didn't we go into Libya and throw out Gaddafi and, you know, take over that land? Well, here's some information for the people that may not know this, but I'm going to show you a list here. These are countries. These are Middle East countries. This is from Wikipedia, traditional definition of the Middle East. And if you noticed, you have Bahrain, Cyprus, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Israel, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Oman, State of Palestine, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Turkey, United Arab Emirates, and Yemen. Do you see Libya anywhere on that list? Yes or no? Okay. Now, here's a map of the Middle East. Let's see if I can zoom out so you can see it a little better. Middle East map. I'm sorry it's in black and white. Color printer was down, but this should be well enough. It's the shaded parts here. But you'll see over here, you have like Turkmenistan, and you have Iraq and Iran. Here's Tehran right here. You have Baghdad, Iraq, Syria right over here. Down here, you have Egypt. Remember, it's just the shaded part. All this shaded part in here is considered Middle East. Do you see Libya anywhere there? No, of course not, because Libya, I'll show you where Libya is actually on a map. Here's Northern Africa in the Middle East. Okay? Notice Libya is next door to Egypt, but it's in Northern Africa, okay? It's not considered traditional Middle East. So, was Pastor right again, or was he not? Now, remember what I just said. On 6/13/13, a war was declared against Syria. And there's going to be a little bit more brought on that here in a few minutes by another Kohan, but just bear with me. Now, in that same sermon that he gave, on 4-17-03. Let me go back to the 4-17-03 sermon that me and Pastor talked about on 6-13-13, just a couple days ago. Now he said, you're going to see Israel expanded. And he also said that Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is probably the only one who knows this. He won't tell the others because of the fact that it would bring more hatred from the nations. Does anybody know where Ariel Sharon is today? Yes, he's in a coma. Whoever said that. Yeah, he's still alive. Okay? Are you still praying for him? Raise your hand if you're praying for Ariel Sharon today. I know there was a prophetic word put out that said, please pray for these three people. And it had Pastor Israel Hawkins on there. It had, I believe, George W. Bush on there. And it had Ariel Sharon. Okay? So don't forget. Keep him in your prayers. You never know. He may come out of that coma. Okay? Now he also said in that same sermon, he started talking about the seven-year peace agreement. Okay, now remember, this is 1 year before the seven-year peace agreement went back into action. If y'all remember, as a matter of fact, I brought with me today, and I got this from the National Archives, the nation of Israel here, okay? The archivist here. This is from the National Archives here in the House of Yahweh. And this is a little something I put together over the years. And it starts out with this man's picture right here. Y'all remember that picture? That's one of the first pictures I've seen a pastor. And I'm going to tell you, that's one of my best liked right there. That's a really great picture. I put together a timeline of the Middle East seven-year peace agreement. And what's really interesting is, you know, it was a lot easier for us because Pastor told us everything that was going to take place along that timeline. And not one thing that he told us failed. Not one thing that he told us was going to come to pass on the very same days that he gave failed. Not one thing. Now, but Pastor, in the Mark of the Beast, chapter 11, he told us, on page 179, he says that the great tribulation, which starts with a strong covenant of 7 years and ends at the end of this 7 years with a great nuclear war. That's the words of our overseer from the Mark of the Beast. Remember, he had to believe this before there even was a 7 year agreement. This was written before there was even, this is in the 70s. The seven-year peace agreement didn't come around till September of 1993, okay? So I put together this, and it's got a lot of things in here, but I'm going to skip some of them. But y'all remember the Oslo Agreement in 93, right? If you don't know, you can go online and you can look up the Oslo Peace Accord. In fact, I got this from the Jewish Virtual Library, Declaration of the Principles of the Interim Self-Government Arrangements, September 13, 93. And I want to show you a pertinent part here. It says that it is understood... Well, wait, that's not what I want to read you. It's not the right page. Here it is. This is at on the Declaration of Principles. It says, this Declaration of Principles will enter into force 1 month after its signing. And it shows that it's signed September, the 13th day of September, 1993, which means it's going to go into effect October 13th, 1993. That's in the actual Oslo Agreement. Now, we were told, you know, Pastor knew after 3.5 years this was going to be shut down. Now, did anybody ever see any kind of remarks from... Benjamin Netanyahu that says, all right, I'm going to shut this down. I'm going to put a stop to this. Did anybody ever go look for those? Well, I'll show them to you if you didn't. Because after 3.5 years, and this is from Info Please Israel. I'm going to show you where Daniel talked about that it was going to be, there was going to be a stop. It was going to be stymied. Well, look here. This is their own words here. It says, on November 4th, 95, Prime Minister Rabin was slain by a Jewish extremist, jeopardizing the tenuous progress toward peace. Shimon Peres succeeded him until May 96 elections, for the Knesset gave Israel a new hardline prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, by a razor-thin margin. Now, notice what it says in their own words here. Netanyahu reversed or stymied much of the Oslo Accord. Now check this out. Contending that it offered too many concessions. Too many concessions. Now, y'all know we got a concession stand back there, right? What do you get at the concession stand? They're called sacrifices, right? It's food. Well, didn't he say the sacrifice and oblation would cease? You remember that? Y'all remember these things that were brought out, right? These are their own words. Okay, maybe they didn't use the exact word you wanted, but this is the exact words here. This is in, and it said that it was too fast and it jeopardized Israel's safety. So he shut it down. Now notice this. This is really interesting. This also proves when they shut it down. Right here it says, an October 98 summit at Y Mills, Maryland, generated the first real progress in the stymied Middle East peace talks in 19 months. So if you go back 19 months from October 98, guess what you get? You get April 13th. You get April of 1997, okay? Let's see, 97, yes. 19 months. So by their own admission, that's when it was put to a stop. That's what Pastor told us. But now going back to this sermon that he gave on the going on to, or on the first book of Israel and the wars, he said, I fully expect this peace treaty to go back into operation in April. This was a year before it took place. He was saying, I fully expect it. Now let me skip over to page 192. In another sermon that he gave, the finishing work of the seventh messenger, number 8, page 192 in verse, there's no verses, but it says, I guess you noticed the news is saying there's no way they can get that peace treaty into effect by April. Several articles are against what I brought out here. They're saying it's going to take longer than that. It may. I'm still sticking with what Yahweh said I would. He said, I'm still sticking with it. Okay? And at this time, I'm going to have to stop for a moment, briefly. I'll be right back. Can I leave my stuff here? Okay, great. At this time, if you'd all please stand. It is my great privilege and opportunity to present to you the great Kohan Sefania Owen Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We've got some news actually on what the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins has been speaking about. We're going to first show some stories from a few months ago, which is about how Panetta was talking about the Syrian red line, and then the, President Obama talking about, he calls it another line, but it's the red line. And then we go into the fact that the U.S. has now determined that Syria has crossed the red line by the use of sarin and killing about 100 to 150 people. And so this, of course, is prophecy fulfilled. And keep in mind, now, when Pastor talks to you about how the prophecies have been fulfilled, that's so that you understand the next one that's going to be fulfilled, the next big one, is nuclear war, and that's exactly what this is all leading to. And it kind of shows the urgency of becoming a part of the house of Yahweh. So let's play the news.
If you'd all please stand, I'd like to introduce to you myself. You may be seated. Okay, now, we know how it ends. They can't tell you on CBS News how this thing ends, but the greatest teacher in the world is telling you how this is going to end. Now, let me get back to what I was telling you about the sermon he gave that first in the first book of Israel, and we were talking about the seven-year agreement, and he stood by firmly that this seven-year plan was going to go back into operation after that 7 years. Now, my notes kind of got messed up here. Let me see if I can find my timeline here. Oh, boy. Please help me, Yahweh. I need to find these notes. We know that in April 13th, 1997, this went back into effect. Now, where in the world? I had it right here. Here it is. Oh, praise Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh. You just don't know how nervous you get up here until you get up here. Okay, so I want you to notice this is from the Department The U.S. Department of State's website, okay, this is visits to the U.S. by foreign heads of state and governments for the year of 2004. Now, I want you to notice here, I'm going to flip it because they had a lot of visits that year. Here it is. Notice who came to Washington. Prime Minister Ariel Sharon on what day? What day does that say? April 13th. The exact same day that Pastor told you that this plan was going to go back into effect. And the next day, Sharon, and I think I lost that article, but it showed Ariel Sharon and George W. Bush out there making the big announcement that it was going back into effect again. It said April 14th, but don't let that fool you, because the working visit was April 13th is when he came. The plans were just announced on the 14th, but they were already made. Remember, there's a lot going on behind closed doors. Now, remember this. Besides everything else we have to remember, you know, this seven-year plan was stopped. Its wars are being held back. Why do you think they're being held back? That's right. It's for us, okay? And why would we be so stubborn? Turn over to Romans 2:15, please. Romans 2:15. Why, we got to get the stubbornness out of us. This is for our benefit, okay? This is so we can come to perfection. I'm talking to me too, not just you. Romans 2:5 on page 874. It says, "But according to the to your stubborn and impenitent mind, you are storing up wrath for yourself for the day of Yahweh's wrath," or judgment, not wrath. Remember, Yahweh, he doesn't need anger management classes. We do, okay? It says, "When the righteous judgment of Yahweh will be revealed, when he will reward each one according to his works." You know, this, or as the great Apostle Kefa said, count it salvation that he's putting this off. It's for our salvation so we can come to perfection as we are becoming that gold, right? Everybody's still working on going for the gold, right? Okay, we're still going for the gold. Now, let me remind you of something else. Can we dim the lights in the front row, please? I need to remind you of something else. Y'all remember this picture, right? Now, you know, a nebula, if you look up the definition of nebula, it's the Greek word, Latin word, meaning cloud. So we're still seeing signs in the clouds. And do you see who's here? Can everybody see? That's not somebody out there in internet land, you know. That's not who's standing by Yahshua on the left side. That's Pastor in this house. That represents Pastor and all of us in this house that are in unity and coming into unity with Yahweh's great witness. Don't forget who's there, okay? If you ever have any doubts, just go online, look up that picture, put that picture on your living room wall or whatever you need to do so you can look at it once in a while. Now, at this time, if you'd all please stand, and it's been a great pleasure talking to you all. Yahweh bless you. Have a wonderful Sabbath day. And I think it's fixing to just get better now. Because at this time, if I could get everything out of his way, it is my great, awesome, and great opportunity to introduce to you the greatest teacher in the world, the great Gohan Israel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone! Go ahead, keep going. Glory's out. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You probably think I'm going to extend that sermon on Syria, but I think it's well. We got it in writing, and And the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins just gave an excellent report on the on our work that we did and brought out. So I'm going to continue on the other that I left off with last week. I want to remind you of the Feast of Tabernacles. You need to start looking forward to it with great anticipation. Feast of Trumpets starts September the 7th. The Feast of Tabernacles, that Feast of Trumpets, that's just about 11 weeks, I think. Feast of Tabernacles, 21st of September. Now, if you need help with your gold garments, you need to let us know now. We can help you if you'll let us know quickly. The prophecies are coming to pass with the world. And last week, we left off in Genesis, if you want to turn there. It's very important that you understand this what Yahweh is showing you here, and you can't understand it the way it's written in the King James Version without some studying. But you have books available now, Bible help such as Strong's Concordance. Brown and Driver is a great one, and if you use those, you can see that the words were mistranslated, terribly mistranslated, and they lead you to believe that Yahweh took the tree of life away from the people and put a guard to, with a big guard, got a big sword, and he's ready to chop your head off if you get near this tree of life. That's what that conjures up in a person's mind there in Genesis 23 and verse 20, Genesis 3 and verse 24. He says in verse 22, and Yahweh said, behold, the man has become like one who has begun to know righteousness and evil. Now, before that, he was, of course, introduced to total righteousness. And then he says, now he must not be allowed to put out his hand and also take of the tree of life and eat of it also. So if you live forever in the estate that the world is suffering right now, if you could see the way the body deteriorates and is slowly eaten up from inside. And the doctors are doing what they can do, but they admit that, well, they'll give you 5 years. Well, what if you had more than that? And the pain keeps creeping into all the joints and muscles and so forth. Now here you're living forever, and the pain keeps getting worse and worse, and you're actually wanting to kill yourself, and you can't. Now that's the estate that, of course, the world is in, and they're wanting eternal life. Well, Yahweh says you won't get eternal life unless it's pain-free. And that's what he wants to give you, is a life that's pain-free, that's healthy. And then he wants to give you a job teaching how to achieve this to others throughout the entire universe. So then he says, therefore Yahweh sent him out of the Garden of Eden and to work the ground from which he was taken. Now here's the great part right here. This is a really, there's so much said in this verse that you could preach from now till the coming, you know, on the subjects that are found here. He drove out the man and he placed cherubim. These cherubim, we see them, we don't see them here, but you see them in other places. And I know the young priests, they're looking for this. If you get the rest of the prophecies, you'll see the priest, the cherubim here, were actually, they had two faces. And I brought something I saw last week to show you, if I can do that with the scripture and with these pictures, maybe have you understand what this is talking about. Of course, they have, you remember, keep this scripture in mind, they had the face of Yahweh. Now, I'm going to cover this quickly without scriptures, but listen to me now, everybody. They have the face of Yahweh, of course, these cherubim do. Let the face of Yahweh shine upon you. Remember that blessing? That was a blessing pronounced on Yahweh's people. So we know that face is on the cherubim. And the cherubim, we'll see who they're talking about here later, but they're talking about the seven works. I'll tell you that right out. They're talking about the seven prophesied works of Yahweh that Yahweh set in advance to guard the way to the tree of life. Guard the way to it, to keep it from being changed. It can't change. And of course, to keep it being sounded true. If you think about the people this must have involved down through the centuries. I told you the scriptures were taken away from us. For 2,000 years, the Catholic Church would not allow a Bible to be owned or printed. They would not allow anyone to own a manuscript, own a law, a menorah, which stood for the seven works of Yahweh. And for 2,000 years, this was so. But yet things occurred among men. Among men. Now, how would you explain that? Among men, no house of Yahweh established at that time, but certain ones like Norah, who Yahweh started the ball to rolling with, actually were inspired by Yahweh to do certain things. They weren't called into the work or anything like that, weren't called to the house of Yahweh, weren't offered salvation. But they did certain things, worldly men. And actually, by the time 1934 came, just a little before 1934, the Bible became available again. You want a miracle? How could this possibly be? Just a little bit of study of history and history of the Holy Scriptures would help, you know, to see what I'm talking about here and what, and yet Yahweh prophesied this, seven works to go up in the last one we're in right now, that's teaching these Holy Scriptures that weren't even in existence 100 years before I was born. That's about the time they started bringing them out in the back again to where the people could own them. They were selling books, you know, galore, and the money was what they were after to begin with. It wasn't anything had to do with holiness. They had the scriptures that still didn't turn to holiness, still didn't turn to righteousness. But let the face of Yahweh shine upon you. Well, hocus pocus diddledy docus. How'd that come about? Why is it shining upon you today? Well, Yeshua shows it comes from teaching, from accepting, and from yielding to repentance and conversion. But the second face, of course, is shown as a lion. Now, you should put that one together, especially if you're still working on Yeshua's ancestry and what's obvious and what's not obvious. But and I know you are because I hear some things about it, but the second face was a lion that you will see on these cherubim. So each had two faces, and of course first one was the face of Yahweh that shines upon the messengers, and then the second one, of course, was a lion. Well, where does that come from? Genesis 49. Remember Genesis 49, what's written there? The tribe of Yada, the law will not depart from Yada until the rightful one comes to whose right it is. Yada was a lion club. Remember, that's how it was described. Now, what did he say in the first verse of that chapter? He says, this is the last days. You're going to see this in the last days. Well, here you see the two faces then. The lion, which represents Yada, that's the obvious part. What is not so obvious here, I'm going to get you into here, is the cherubim and the seven works here. They were all prophesied in this chapter, in this Genesis 3. Genesis 3:24. Here's a picture of President Obama. And this artist did a great job on this. Now, this picture here, you probably wouldn't figure it out, but that's the face of President Obama on the right and President Bush on the other. Here is a little more obvious with President Bush on the left and President Obama on the right. I can... Now, this artist did this to show, you see that, two faces, everyone? The artist actually did this to show that no matter who's president, they're going to do the same thing. And President Obama is carrying on with the same things that Bush did before him. He's not changing any of it. He's going the same way. Now, when you see Yukiska, for instance, what he says about the beast and each one of them having four faces. When you see that word four, you need to get in your mind, hey, boing, quartet. Four, boing, quartet. And Malachi Martin's book showing what is going to be pushed forward. Well, of course, what Bush set in motion, Barack Obama is pushing forward on it. Every president has for several years. And what you're seeing in Syria, it was prophesied before that, but it was also announced by Malachi Martin. He didn't know the scriptures. Malachi Martin didn't know any scriptures. He just told the plans of the Catholic Church, and that was it. And he told that all these Muslim countries was going to get hit. Satan was going to make war against them. Well, the way she makes war against them, Revelation 6, shows that it's a quartet that makes this war. So they all pushed forward. They all had four faces. They never went from side to side now. They kept looking forward, straight forward, traveling forward in what they were going to carry out. Now keep that in mind and you'll start understanding about the cherubim now. The cherubim with two faces is Yahweh's face and Yada's face, the lawgivers. That's what we're here for. We're studying the law of Yahweh that will make you perfect. That was assigned to Yada. Remember? Yada in chapter 49 of Genesis. And it says it won't depart from Yada until the rightful one comes, whose right it is, who was Yahshua, that was given in verse 10, along with the branch who teaches it in the last days. See that? Well, that's in a nutshell, of course. And of course, that branch had to have some training in these Holy Scriptures. First off, he had to have the Holy Scriptures, you know, in order to teach it in this time period. And had to have the prophecies to show that these prophecies are being fulfilled. Well, here we see that in Genesis 3:24, so he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east. That word east, I think I have it. Yes, the word east. It means east or time. It means before. Before antiquity, it means ancient time, before. And remember these words I'm giving you here now. We're going to see some scriptures where it was translated just that in the Holy Scriptures that refers to this time period that we're in. Ancient time, before, aforetime. all of it indicates that it was before this that he ordained seven works. He ordained cherubim, who are messengers of Yahweh, the cherubim, that work. No, it's not an angel. To which of the angels did he make any such promises? None. Because I am the Son of Man, I'm also the branch. I wouldn't be the branch if I wasn't the Son of Man. It's that simple. Everlasting, forward, all these words. Yahweh placed the cherubim to keep the way to the tree of life. Keep it. The King James Version says keep. I think we put guard. But the King James Version said keep, and when you look up the word keep, you will find this definition. To keep, you'll find a totally different thing than guard. It's to keep it from being changed, to keep the way of life in existence. Although it disappeared, the Bible disappeared for 2,000 years. No manuscripts, no nothing for 2,000 years. But there was something being led by bits and pieces among many people, tribes, and so forth that actually brought about the reprinting of this Bible. The printing of it, the putting it together, so in the last days, prophecies could be fulfilled. So they guard the way. Let's turn over to Ephesians again and get that in your mind once again before we proceed on here, but Ephesians 1 and verse 4. Ephesians 1 verse 4, found on page 916. Ephesians 1 verse 4. Verse 3, blessed be Yahweh the Father of our King Yahshua Messiah. Get that in your mind, and then he was the one prophesied in Genesis in the beginning. He was ordained before the beginning. His job was actually set aside for him before the beginning. So was ours. It was set aside and ordained in the plan of Yahweh before the beginning. The beginning was when it was brought to light. Verse 4, because he chose us with him. He chose us with him before the beginning. He chose us with him, with Yahshua. Before, see that? Before the foundations of the earth. Before the foundations of the earth. That we were to be holy and without blame before him in love. Preordaining us to be his children by adoption through Yahshua Messiah according to the righteous pleasure of his plan. Look on down to verse 9. Having revealed to us the great secret of his plan, according to his righteous pleasure, which he has purposed to himself for the administration of the house of Yahweh, time, be sure and mark these so they'll stand out to you. The administration of the house of Yahweh at the completed time. Each thing taking place only at the completed time, together, one, in one, to himself. That's what we're going to do. That's our job. Under one head, that is Yahshua, both the, and now that he's working with us, remember Zechariah 6, between the two of them, or between both of them. So Yahshua is working with his house, both the things which are yet in the heavens and the things also for the earth in him, in whom also we are allotted an inheritance, being preordained as he set forth, as all things work according to the purpose of his plan. Now, that was verse 11. go into Romans 8 again. We can't leave that one out. Get this one in your mind too. Romans 8 in verse 29. Romans 8, verse 29. Found on page 879. For whom he did foreknow. Now this is just the ones he foreknew you are. He foreknew you before he ever laid the foundations at the beginning. Before that, he knew you, and he had certain things planned for your parents to do, and your grandparents, and your great-grandparents, and your great-great-grandparents, several generations before you, so that certain things would be put into your mind and your heart, so you would do the job, join the house, learn the way to the tree of life. So, for whom he did foreknow, he also did foreordain to be conformed. Notice that. To be changed over. He ordained this, that you be changed over to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the many brethren. Now that should make sense now, along with the Genesis and what you know there already. Moreover, those whom he did foreordain, those he also called, and whom he called, those he also justified, and whom he justified, he will also glorify. Now, let's go back to Isaiah with all of that in mind, Isaiah 37 now. Isaiah, what in the world would Isaiah have to do with Genesis 3:24? Isaiah 37, and remember, you were preordained for this position that you're preparing for, that he's forming you for at this time. Found on page 553, Isaiah 37, and look at verse 26 here. This is what Yahweh says. Have you not heard that long ago I ordained this from ancient times? Or the same wording there is before, or afore. Before the foundations of the earth. It's the same thing being said, but they translated it differently. That I formed it. I formed this. Yahweh did himself. The fact that you're sitting here right now is part of this forming. Now I have brought this to pass. Well, if you read the things he was talking about here, the history, you can see that Yahweh is involved in the history that came down to you. And certain things that we probably, it will take us billions of years probably to find out how, but certain things that were all planned out, were all put in order, and certain microorganisms were given command from other microorganisms down through the line to carry this thing out in the kingdoms of the microbes, so that you could get a message in your head at a certain time, and it would wake you up and it'd say, hey, that man's preaching the truth. But now it's coming to pass that you should be the one to lay waste defense, fortified cities, turning them into heaps of ruins. And that's just one thing. Now that they refer you on over to Isaiah 44, and I know you're familiar with this one. And remember now, the cherubim with two faces, foreordained to guard the way to the tree of life, to keep it from being destroyed, to make sure it's always there for those who want to repent and join the work of Yahweh. That's what they really do, to guide and teach the way to the tree of life. That straight and narrow way, that straight and narrow way, it'll never get crooked with the seven works that Yahweh has afore ordained. Well, here in Isaiah now, 44, we see the same wording as we find in Genesis. And if you study this on your own, you will see this for yourself with the concordances and the lexicons. But Isaiah 44 now, and look at verse 2. This is what Yahweh says. Well, verse 1 says, "Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen." Here's a job for them. This is two of the cherubim or messengers that have two faces. Yes, two faces. The others have four. We don't have those other four faces. We're telling the other four faces to repent. This verse 2, this is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb, formed you, that ordained, brought something. Notice formed. That's the same word we just saw where we were formed to be made in the image of his son. Well, he's doing the same thing here, but he's showing he's doing it with the cherubim. The cherubim that he put in charge of guarding the tree of life in this last era. This last generation, as Yahshua put it, who works with Yahshua in building the house of Yahweh in these last days. I formed you from the womb. Formed you. So he put into this person here from the womb the things that would bring about certain things. And then, of course, those things are being fulfilled now. Who will help you? I, Yahweh, is saying this. I will help you. Do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, and Yisrael, my beloved Israel, whom I have appointed. For I will pour water upon him who is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed, and your offspring. So the spirit of Yahweh, the laws of Yahweh, is going to be taught from this person he's speaking to here, Israel. It's going to be taught to his seed and his offspring. He shows in another place it will not depart from their mouth. This is throughout all eternity, he said. Praise Yahweh. They will bring up, they will spring up among the grass, among the other peoples, as willows by the water's courses. One will say, I belong to Yahweh. How did he know this? How did he possibly know this before the earth was ever made? But he knew this was going to take place. And actually had it arranged to where a certain prophet would write it down. You see the wisdom in this being that we're worshiping? One will say, I belong to Yahweh, and the same will call himself. I remember the scripture we just read now in Isaiah, the 37 verse 26. Was it not said from ancient days? Am I not bringing this about? Have you never heard of that? You know, Yahshua used to say that to the Pharisees. Don't you know? Have you never read where it was written certain things? Well, here he says now this is going to take place. The same will call himself with the name Jacob. And of course, that was done under duress, as the Hebrew words show. And that's what his wife was telling the women here before she died. who she wanted to go and tell. She came here on a mission to tell this to certain people that it was under duress, is about to throw him off of the train, and force this man to call himself by the name of Jacob. Now, he knew all of that before the foundation of the earth. He ordained it to be so. Miracles? That's the miracles I love right there. And then the other will subscribe with his hand and write, "I belong to Yahweh," and surname himself with the name of Israel. How far do we want to go? Through verse 8. This is what Yahweh, the King of Israel and Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts, says, "I am the first and I am the last. Except for me, there is no source of power. And who, as I will foretell and set it in order for me?" Well, he's fixing to tell you. He asks the question and then he said, "Since I appointed the ancient people, I appointed them. I appointed all of them, including Yahshua. I appointed Yahshua to come and die at a certain time for your sins. And the things which are coming, I appointed them," he says, "and will come. I appointed all these things that's going to come. Let them foretell them." These two people here, let them foretell these events. You see the job he set before us here? Before the foundations of the earth, before I drove them out of the Garden of Eden, before they sinned, I had all of this ordained before their sins. That's what Genesis said, Genesis 3:24. Before any of this took place, I had all of this arranged. "Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and have declared you are my witnesses?" So you want to know who the witnesses are? You have your witnesses here. Go to Revelations 11, not now, but I'm talking to the people who are hearing me outside. Let's turn over to Isaiah 41. But when you see the scripture in Revelations 11 and you want to know who the two witnesses are, remember Isaiah 44. Here a little and there a little. And when you get it together, as Yahweh has directed his house to do, then you have a beautiful painting here, a beautiful picture of now and the future. Isaiah 41. We see the same word here, but used, of course, describing the work of Yahweh in these last days. Isaiah 41, verse 8. "But you, O Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth." We know now that that was Oklahoma. That was the ends of the earth, the last land to be allotted, the last land to be developed. "And called you from the furthest parts of it," the last parts of it, "and said to you," and said to you, how did he say this? Through the prophets. Through the prophets he said this. He inspired them to write, but the great thing that I see, the marvelous thing is, he inspired them to write this before he drove Adam and Eve and their descendants out of the Garden of Eden. Before any of this, he inspired this man, these Isaiah here, before he was born. Like he led about thousands of different people who you see involved in the printing of the Bible. They didn't know it, but events took place that led these people and the Catholic Church to actually release the scriptures. One thing, that lost about 2/3 of their congregation and the others were fixing to leave due to a black plague. But all of these things, Yahweh was guiding, but he didn't just sit there and say, well, I need to change this or this. He did it before the foundations of the earth were laid. And said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your father. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Help me? Well, we got 2 billion people to convert. Now, that's our job. I know you think that's an impossible task, but I'm telling you, as sure as they're fighting Syria today, after we prophesied it, 10 years ago? This 2 billion people is going to come here to the house. And that was ordained before he drove Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. As much as I'm standing here today because of the same ordinations, so are these other things going to take place. And he says, fear not, I will help you. Well, you can see we're going to need a lot of help. It's already coming, and we can see it in different forms. We say, man, I never would have dreamed of that. I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all those who were incensed, hostile against you, will be ashamed and confounded. They will be as nothing. They will strive with you. They who strive with you will perish. Let's see, 11:41. Let's read on. You will search for them, but you will not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, will be as nothing and as a thing of nothing. For I, Yahweh, your Father, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Let's keep that in mind now. Let's go over to Micaiah. Micaiah 5, I think. Micaiah 5. Remember, Micaiah 4 now talks about in the last days the house of Yahweh will be established. And in chapter 5, let's go to verse 1, down on page 706. And we're talking about before ordaining, preordaining, before the foundations of the earth were laid, after he taught Adam and Eve, before he ever taught Adam and Eve, before he created Adam and Eve. All of these things were preordained. You know, you can do some of that with the power of a computer, I notice. You can, you know, there's so many things you can do with a computer. I don't fool with them. But I have other people working with them. And you can see what a magnificent mind that Yahweh has. And what you're going to have, because he's furnished you with a subconscious mind that can't do anything but grow. It just keeps growing and recording and filing, and the more you feed it, the more it can be fed. The only way that you could stop it from growing is to just let it die. But that, with that mind, with that computer, that, and the kind of mind that Yahweh has, you can see the magnificence of it when you start seeing what he has done and how he actually brings it about or made plans, planned it to be brought about, and in given certain commands to certain things. Like you'd give a command to a computer, you know, to put a virus in it to eat a subject up or something. Plan it for a certain time. That's what the hackers are doing, what I understand. But Yahweh, of course, uses his mind constructively to bring about his work, because he set on bringing peace not only to the earth but the universe. But before the world began, now he set all of this in motion. It can't reverse. There's nothing that can stop it. It's already set to go. And it's being brought about in details. And you can see the details here being brought about by the plans that he made and ordained. He ordained, which means, if you can think about 6 or 10,000 years ago, ordaining some microorganisms in your granddad or grandmother to do a certain thing. Well, he did that with so many people in order to bring about these little events that leads up to your calling, leads up to my calling, and the establishment of the house of Yahweh. Well, now anyone who knows computers can see a glimpse of what we could actually see in Yahweh's mind in order to bring this about. Well, here in Micaiah now, in chapter 5 and verse 1, "Now gather yourselves in troops, O daughter of troops, for a siege has been laid against us, for the rod, or with the rod, they will strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you," now get this now, get this closely, "this is your Savior that is being prophesied here. You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Yada, yet out of you will come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose coming is proclaimed from of old." Same words that you see in Genesis 3:24, before the ancient times, from ancient time, from of old, or before the foundations of the earth, the same Hebrew wording here, speaking of Yahshua Messiah. "Therefore, he will give them up until the time," that is, give up the children of Israel, let them go their own way for a certain time period. "She who is in labor has given birth." Therefore, verse 3, "therefore he will give them up until the time she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brothers will return to the children of Israel." This is all laid out for these people, but not just laid out in a pattern and in writing and says you do this at a certain time, but laid out in the microorganism, the kingdoms of the microorganisms that fill your head, that make up your brain, that make up the brains of all of these people before you. "He will stand and shepherd." He will shepherd. That's what he's doing now, you right now, "in the strength of Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of Yahweh, his Father. And they will abide, for now will he be great in the ends of the earth." Brought about from this work that took place now in the ends of the earth. That was a prophecy. You put the two together and you see that it's going to be brought about. He's going to shepherd his people from the times of this calling of the ends of the earth. And if you put that together with Revelation 12, where a woman is prepared, the place is prepared for a woman to bring up a man and to train and get him started. Well, all of that was placed before the foundations of the earth. And it was brought about from generation to generation and comes down to our time, where lo and behold, a man and a woman lose everything they have. They get in a covered wagon and go to Oklahoma. all of this was laid out in advance, what they were going to do, foretelling it, not forcing them, but laid in a pattern where they would be led to do this and go to a hibernated place and there hide, but learn the scriptures. Teach and train the scripture. Teach and learn. I've told you about the nights that we would, now in the winter time, you know, we would have our studies would start early because we'd have a lamp light and we would all gather around the table and we would read the scriptures. Well, when you think about that and you think, how in the world could a person, how could a person possibly accomplish this? But he did. 6,000 years before that, before 6,000 years, before that time period when the earth and the heavens were made, before that, he had all of this lined out and had it to where it cannot possibly fail. I tell you, it blows my mind to think about how a being could do this. From one generation to another, and you thought you came here by accident? He'll be great to the ends of the earth. And this one will bring peace. Did you get that? It goes with that other. In fact, it's part of that other sentence. Read it again. He will stand and shepherd. That's Yahshua. In the strength of Yahweh, that's the Father Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of Yahweh, by the authority of Yahweh, and they will abide, for now will he be great in the ends of the earth. We're bringing greatness to Yahshua in the work we're doing, and this one that he's shepherding will bring peace. You thought it's a coincidence that the Peaceful Solution Character Education was actually put together? It's actually prophesied before the earth was ever formed. Amazing. But that's it. That's it. It's a fact. And it cannot go wrong. Go back to Isaiah 45 now. Isaiah 45, got two more scriptures on this, and then Isaiah 45 and verse 21. Isaiah 45, verse 21. Speak. Speak out. Bring your proofs nearer. Yes. Let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient times? Well, of course, Yahweh has. Yahweh has inspired his prophets. There's another. How does he do that? This is so marvelous what we're seeing here taking place. He actually inspires his prophets to write. But he did it before the earth was made. That makes it even more magnificent. Who has foretold it from that time? From before time is what that word actually means. The same thing that Genesis 3:24 showed. Before the time. Have not I Yahweh, and there is no source of power except me, a just Father and a Savior? There is none but me. None but me. He's all you need, in fact. Well, last scripture. Look at Isaiah 46. And notice verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning. He actually declares it, sends his house to prophesy it. And in Revelations 22, Yahshua is saying, I'm coming quickly, and I've given my messenger, that same word there is cherubim, my messenger, given this to my messenger to foretell. And that was Revelations 22:16. But he says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, that is the times anywhere before this, which are not yet done, those things which are not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand, my counsel. Well, who's he giving this counsel to? What you're made up of? The trillions of kingdoms that live in your body right now. Now, science knows this now. They didn't know it when the scriptures was written. There's no way anyone could know this except that Yahweh inspired them to know it. And then now, of course, we got proof. Science has now proved that sin causes cervical cancer. The scripture wrote this 5,000 years ago. See, so we do have in this knowledge, increase of knowledge, things where we can actually see what Yahweh was talking about and see, oh yes, this is the way it is. Well, now we know that there's trillions of kingdoms. So small you can't see, of course. There's several trillion in your eye, just to make up your eye, of microorganisms that make sure your eyes work properly and let you see to read and write and so forth to study the Word of Yahweh. That's what your eyes is made for. Another, get that book of Israel and read it, the one that the great Kohan Benjamin just talked about. It's very exciting now because it's coming true. We're seeing it now come to pass right now, right in front of your eyes. And we said it before it ever started. Syria is going to be next. It's next on the list. How did we know that? How could we possibly? Well, of course, Yahweh shows it in the scriptures. He foretold it from the ends of the earth, of course. In these last days, he foretells it from the ends of the earth. That is the work that started from the ends of the earth. That's the way it took place. That's the reason that Revelations 12, a woman, I prepared a place for her that she might teach and train for the 1,265 days, clothed about with darkness. Well, that's us. We are here for that reason. And that's the reason we're doing it. And I don't think there's a way you could turn around. I don't want to. This is a beautiful prophecy right here, but I don't have time to explain it right now. But he calls an eagle from the ends of the earth, from the east. Calls an eagle from the east. The one who executes my plan from a far country, a man who executes or is involved in helping. You know, remember, he says, I will help you. That is, I'm going to bring things about. Things are already ordained to be brought about that someone will help you, that will execute plans, open doors. Remember Bawa Jane and the messages I brought about Bawa Jane, the gate opener? Well, we have others here prophesied to execute my plan. Calls the eagle from the east, the one who executes my plan from a far country. Yes, I have spoken. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed. I will also do it. You can rest assured. Don't get scared. Don't let fear enter in. Yahweh is going to bring this to pass, and you're going to get all the glory for it. Yahweh does great things, and he gives the glory to man, his children. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted who are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It will not be far off, and my salvation, that's us bringing this right now. Salvation was never ever ordained until for any other time except this time period. salvation. They can qualify for it. They could qualify for it, but no one is going to receive it until you receive it. And that's scriptural fact. Praise Yahweh. Now bring near my righteousness. I will not be far off. It will not be far off. And my salvation will not tarry. And I will place salvation in, that is, those who keep the 613 laws. That's what the word Zion means. And they just merely translated it Zion. But I will place salvation among those who keep all my laws for Yisrael, my glory. That Yisrael is speaking about the cherubim that's guarding the way to the tree of life. Guarding it, explaining it, and how that it will never change. And once we get that eternal life given to us, we will never change at all, and we will never let it change at all throughout all eternity. We won't have any more sin in the world, period. We're looking for a kingdom where righteousness prevails. And that's us. That's the gold. Now, Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.